In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. In the city of Cana, where there was a wedding, the mother of Jesus is there. Jesus is there. The disciples are there. Now, when the master of the feast tasted the wine that had become, tasted the water now become wine, he did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. This, the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are in the midst of the season of Epiphany, and Jesus' light and life and glory shines brightly. And today we're going to do two things. We're considering the light and life and the glory of Jesus as he changed the water into wine, as he honored marriage in the family at Cana. And we'll talk about how we defend God-given life from conception until old age on this annual Life Sunday. Now, the last 3 weeks, we have shared that there are four key events in the season of Epiphany, which begins 12 days after Christmas and goes to Transfiguration. Those four events, first of all, were the Magi following the star, coming into the house and presenting their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The second Epiphany event is Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, the manifestation of the Father's voice and the Holy Spirit coming down on him as a dove. Today is the third event of the Epiphany season, Jesus' miracle of changing water into wine at Cana, and will come to its culmination on Transfiguration Sunday, when we see Jesus shining in glory, shining like the sun on the high mountain. And Epiphany is all about light and life in the midst of darkness and death. Rejoice today. You have both light and life in Jesus Christ. Now, the picture of a wedding banquet is familiar to us in the church because it says in Isaiah 62 and also in Ephesians 5, Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is the bride. Jesus is our Lord who is righteous and brings brightness and glory and beauty. He delights in us like a bridegroom delights in his bride. And the church is the New Jerusalem, Zion. We have a new name, beloved by God. We are married to God, if you will, and God rejoices over us. It is significant that the first institution that God established in Genesis was marriage for Adam and Eve. The two become one flesh. And the first miracle Jesus does is changing water into wine at this wedding, showing how he honors this important institution that God has established. In Jesus' first sign and miracle of changing water into wine at the wedding in Cana, his disciples believed in him, Mary believed him, the servants believed in him, and we are also called to believe in him and have faith that he gives you and me light and life. And affirm on this annual Life Sunday that we live and we die, we are the Lord's, we honor all life from the moment of conception unto old age, because life is precious and is given us by God. So, let's begin by looking at the story in the city of Cana at this wedding banquet. And the first two people we look at are Jesus and his mother, Mary. On the third day, there was a wedding. These people obviously were family relatives or acquaintances, because Mary is there, Jesus and all of his disciples. It took place at the city of Cana in Galilee, and if you look at a map, northwest of the Sea of Galilee, there's Nazareth and not too far away, Cana, because Jesus and Mary and the family live in Nazareth, but they had friends or family in Cana, and there they go for this wedding banquet and feast. On a personal note, I remember I went to Cana in Galilee in 1999. They have a beautiful church built over the spot where they believe the wedding took place. And because I'm an American tourist, they sold you many bottles of wine in little crock with a stopper on it. And of course, I put it in my suitcase, and the entire wine got all over my suitcase. So I didn't come back with wine, but I came with a little mini jug from Cana in Galilee. And there's a beautiful church there which has a mosaic of this wedding banquet with Jesus right in the middle of the feast. Now, Jesus and his disciples were also invited, so either this couple was also disciples, or they knew Jesus, and they were familiar with all of his disciples, because John, who writes this gospel lesson, was also at this wedding. But now, his mother brings to him the problem. She says, "They have no more wine." This is a big problem. This is a disaster. In Jesus' day, when they had a wedding banquet, it sometimes lasted 3 or 4 days. You had to have a lot of food and a lot of wine to feed all these people as they rejoiced in the marriage. So Mary comes to Jesus, and Mary must have been helped planning this whole banquet and feast. They have no more wine. Jesus says to his mother, "Woman, what does that have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Now, when Jesus says "woman," this is not disrespectful at all. This is like saying "ma'am," "mother," speaking kindly to his mother. He wants her to know that it's not really my problem that they've run out of wine. My hour has not come. Jesus is a long way from Holy Week. He's a long way from Palm Sunday and Good Friday and Easter. He has just begun his ministry. But Mary has faith in her son, and like a good Jewish mother, she says to her servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And then she walks away. She had faith in her son. She knew that he would do something to help in this situation. And thus, Mary addresses her son and expressed her faith and belief that he could do something. Then the story continues with Jesus, the servants, and the master of the feast, the person who was supposed to run the whole feast. It continues. "By the door there were 6 stone water jars that hold 20 to 30 gallons for the Jewish rite of purification." These stone jars would be filled with water at the door when you came in. You washed your hands, the servants washed your feet, you maybe even washed your face before you came in to the banquet. Maybe there were hundreds of people at this banquet. They had used up all the water, so now the jars are empty. But Jesus says to the servants, "Go fill the jars with water." And because the servants knew Jesus and respected him and listened to Mary, they filled them all the way to the brim. And then Jesus says something amazing. "Draw some of the water out," he says, "and take it to the master of the feast." When they take it to the master of the feast, Jesus changed the water into wine. And he did not know where it had come from, but the servants knew. You see, the master of the feast was in big trouble. It was his problem that they had run out of wine. So now he tastes this wine, this water that has become wine, and he's astounded. He doesn't know where all this wine has come from. So the master of the feast goes to the bridegroom and says, "People usually serve the good wine first, and after people have drunk freely, then the poor wine, but you have kept the good wine until now." What is so beautiful about this story is the only people that know a miracle has taken place is Mary and the servants. Jesus did this in secret almost, this humble act of helping this young couple. And you notice that Jesus provides them bountiful wine. It's excellent wine. It's a first-class wedding gift for this young couple. Remember, later, Jesus would say, "I come to bring new wine in new wineskins." The servants, like Mary, saw, believed, they had faith, they knew exactly what Jesus had just done. But then the conclusion of the story is about his disciples. This was the first of his signs that Jesus did at Cana in Galilee. He manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The favorite word that the Apostle John has for Jesus' miracles is a sign. Jesus didn't do miracles to put on magic shows or like a circus act. His miracles were signposts that pointed to something else. By changing the water into wine, he's pointing to how he honors marriage in the first place. He's pointing out that this man in history and time and place is manifesting his glory because as God and as man, he is using his authority and power. His deity is being seen through his humanity in his changing of the water into wine. And he's showing his glory and his humility to help this young couple in this way. And the disciples saw this and believed in him. The miracle is a sign to show us that this is no mere man. They were getting a glimpse of heaven, where the heavenly banquet and feast we will enjoy forever and ever, and where the blind will see and the deaf will hear and the lame will walk. They're giving a glimpse of his glory, the deity through his humanity, which will soon be seen in 2 or 3 years later at Jesus being lifted up upon the cross as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. His glory as he's lifted up for the sin of the world. They will see his glory when this same John will run to the tomb with Peter, and the tomb is empty and only the burial cloths are left, and Jesus was risen from the dead. It was this John who realizes that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And if he is the atoning sacrifice for the sin of the whole world, when you believe that the blood of Jesus Christ takes away all sin, he takes away your sin. And you believe, like Mary, and like the servants, and like the disciples, and you see the glory of God through the person of Christ. What is so beautiful also about this story is that God is still in the business of doing amazing things, isn't he? With water and with wine. A pastor took some water and baptized you with the word of God in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And with ordinary water, he made you a child of God in holy baptism. Each week when we have Holy Communion, we have ordinary bread and wine on this altar. But Jesus takes this wine and takes this bread and gives for us for forgiveness, earned for us upon the cross, his blood and his body, for the forgiveness of our sins, that you would believe it. This is shed for you, for the remission of your sins, so that you have faith in this completed sacrifice done for you. He still does amazing things today with water and with wine. Then we have Jesus' whole approach for us today towards marriage and families and children. Our Lord Jesus Christ honored this marriage. He honors your marriage, your commitment to your spouse, raising of your families and your children. Ever in our age today, do we hold brightly the joy of Christian marriage and families and children? St. Paul, as he speaks to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 12 in the epistle lesson, shows how much the first century world was like the 21st century world. You see, in first century Roman world, in which Corinth was, people, and these Christians before they became Christians, were pagans. They were led astray. They worshipped idols and gods and goddesses. Men treated women and children like their property. People lived in complete spiritual darkness in the first century, filled with violence and death and suicide and infanticide. They were led by Satan. They cursed Jesus because they were empowered by the devil to do great evil. It was that world in the first century in Corinth that the gospel entered into this town of Corinth and transformed pagans into believers, brought them from darkness into light. So Paul said, now you who have become Christians, you have the Spirit of God, and by the Holy Spirit, you say, as we're about to say as we sing the Te Deum, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord. We have one and the same Spirit in all the churches around this planet. We have the same Holy Spirit that it empowers us. And for the manifestation of the common good within the church, he provides wisdom and knowledge and faith and healing and miracles and prophecy and tongues for the edification of the people, St. Paul said. And in holy baptism, men, women, and children are joint heirs with Christ through water and word. Rejoice that God has given you your spouse and your children. Lives are often difficult in our families, but we repent, we say I'm sorry, and we forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven us, and we're committed to our spouse and to our children and to our parents because life is a precious gift and our families are gifts from God. Now, when Jesus' final hour did come, and it did come, the ultimate sign he performed was his crucifixion upon the cross, his burial in the tomb, and his glorious resurrection. Having been declared righteous in God's sight through his sacrifice on the cross in our place, praise God that you are touched every day by God's preached word, which you're hearing right now, the word of absolution that comforts you, the water and word of holy baptism, the bread and wine, Christ's body and blood in Holy Communion. We are being prepared for a glorious wedding banquet of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. We are his bride, the church. He still works among us in water and wine. Rejoice in that marriage in heaven that will have no end. In conclusion, in our generation we rejoice, and I encourage you to rejoice today. Did you know you have three different types of light and life? First, you have physical life. Your body is alive. God created you, the unique you, body and soul. Secondly, you have spiritual life, which means you have faith to believe that the blood of Jesus Christ has taken away your sin. And thirdly, you have eternal life now, so that when you die, you go to be with Jesus immediately, and he will raise your body on the last day. This is the life that we have. The 21st century is much like the first century Rome. We must speak out in defense of all God-given life from conception into old age. We as Christians oppose the evils of abortion, of infanticide, of suicide, of genocide, and euthanasia. This is the darkness. This is death. Instead, we honor and protect all God-given life. Rather, we support adoption of children in need, mercy to those with special needs, promote a good self-image among our young people and ourselves. Our identity is in Christ and our baptism. Love for people of all races, of all colors, skin, of all nationalities, and showing kindness to the elderly and to the infirm, as God in Christ has been kind to us. We must, in our generation, though we are surrounded by death and darkness, we do not despair. We are children of the light. We have light and life. And in Christ Jesus, as we celebrate this wedding at Cana and the sanctity of life this day, may God use us in that light and life to exhibit mercy, love, kindness, compassion, care, and joy, and the affirmation of life to all people, young and old. May we, during this Epiphany season, ever walk in the light and the life of Jesus Christ. God grant this in your life and my life today. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.